plus. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 247, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5, and we'll sing the second tune, 247. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 247.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 44 through verse 58. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 58. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. And then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which brought forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family of Mr. Jake Slingerland and also a Mr. Bas de Puter, who may be brought home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and long-suffering God, Thou who dwellest above, and we, the creatures of Thy hand, of Thy making, dwelling upon Thy footstool, so dependent upon Thee in everything, and yet Thou knowest our heart and life, what it is from our sight. Because though we receive Thy blessings moment by moment, that our heart is yet turned away from Thee, and we have turned unto Thee our backs, and we do say to Thee moment by moment that we will have not the knowledge of Thy ways. Lord, Thou knowest all that is taken place in the week that is gone by, then out of the midst of a family, here and in our community, Thou hast removed a beloved husband, a father, brother, grandfather. Lord, Thou knowest those that mourn. Wilt Thou remember them? When a man is not able to give that comfort that is necessary for such ones that must experience the misery, the consequences of all of our sin, that Thou Thyself in Thy mercy may be on the right and on the left hand. And then it is not only he, but then also so many others that have been taken away in the week that is gone by. Thou knowest all the circumstances, be with all that mourn. But Lord, wilt Thou instruct us? Wilt Thou teach us? Because we are but fools, under all Thy callings, under all Thy warnings. And Lord, the dead, they are not able to hear, They are not able to see. They are not able to feel. They are not able to take to heart the callings that come unto them. Then we are dependent upon Thee, and that Thou mayst strike our heart with Thine own arrow, the arrow of Thy holy word, that is shot forth by Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, when that arrow would reach its mark, oh, then our life that shall immediately become so different. Because from death we shall become alive. Lord, that is Thy work. That is a miracle of Thy hand. Oh, we beseech it of Thee, even in this morning hour for us and for our dear children. It is so undeserved. Thou knowest all things. But Thou givest grace, and grace, O Lord, that is to the undeserving. This is the way that Thou wilt receive Thy honor. This is the way that Thou wilt glorify and that Thou wilt magnify Thy only begotten Son. Oh, that Thou may look then upon Him, even in this day, and that Thou may hear His supplication and that comes before Thy face, a supplication wherein He beseeches Thee that they may be with Him where Thou art. Oh, that Thou may then look upon each and every one of that church that is here below, the church militant. There is a people who magnify Thee above. Lord, there is still a people that do fight the warfare against a triple-headed enemy. And Thou knowest each and every one of them where they are in this day. Oh, that Thou may remember them in all the affliction of their life. For Thou Thyself did say that it is through much tribulation that they must enter into that kingdom of God. And that is not the expectation of that people when Thou drawest them with longings and hungerings in that day of that new birth. But there is so much that they need to learn. There is so much disappointment from the side of men. And Lord, that Thou may then uphold and build up Thy own people in that most holy faith. And that Thou may give them truth to be experienced within, that Thy Spirit may revive Thy own work in the midst of the years. Oh, in wrath, Lord, wilt Thou remember mercy, and that Thou may look upon us when we are still on the outside. Oh, then what should it be for us to have to go the way of all flesh? To have suddenly to appear before Thy judgment seat. Lord, it is the most important and the most serious matter of our whole life. But it is a matter that we push aside, that we do not consider uprightly, that we cannot give ourselves to feel. Oh, that Thou may then come. This is our only hope and expectation on this Thy Sabbath day, that Thy Spirit may come and that it may bring forth fruit in the midst of us as a congregation, that the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God, and that they which hear might live. That Thou may give instruction upon a way of free and sovereign grace.
that thou may lead through a straight gate, and that thou may bring also upon a narrow way. Lord, thou knowest also that he who has been taken from the midst of us, that he was also a one whom thou gavest an office. Oh, that thou may look then also upon the office bearers. But when they are taken away from time to time, oh, that thou may give us also a cry, that thou may remember thy own church, that thou may raise up office bearers, that thou may raise up deacons and elders that fear thy name in truth, that thou may raise up ministers, that they may go before the congregations, for there are still many that are vacant. Lord, that thou may supply then for us as a denomination, may it be in the months that are before, when after some time the curatorium will meet again. Oh, that thou may look on us, Lord, and that thou may remember us in mercy, to give men of thy choosing that are no longer able to bear the burden which thou placest upon their shoulders. Oh, that thou may raise up those whose mouth must go open concerning the salvation of the poor and needy. In and through thine only begotten Son, oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. And remember us as a people, that we may not be left to go our own way, that thy truth that thou hast given unto our forefathers may still remain amongst us, and that thou may bless that truth of thy word to us and our dear children in the ends of the world that are come upon us. Look upon him that thou hast brought safely home again from the hospital. Lord, wilt thou remember him in the place where he is in this day, and that thou may bless him with strength for the body, and that thou may bless him also with a blessing for his soul. And so look thou upon each and every one of us. We have come up unto thy house of prayer. Lord, what are we in thy sight but those who deserve to be cast away from thee? Thou art the witness of all of our life. Thou art the witness of our whole heart, the inmost secrets that are within us. Oh, that thou may give this morning hour what we cannot give to ourselves. Oh, that thou may give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may feel something. Oh, could it please thee for the first time even in our life, that we may feel something and that we may experience something of the drawing of thy Holy Spirit, that which is so worthy to be sought by us, that it may be to us as a pearl that is of great price, that our eyes may be open to see it, and that we may be given to seek for it while it is still a day of grace. Lord, this is thy own work. This is not our work, not as thy servant. Oh, we can give it to no one, but thou art almighty, that thou may then go before us. Also, our brother who may bring thy word in a sister congregation in this area in these days, look on him also, and all thy truly sent servants this day, wherever that they may be, oh, go before them to build up thy kingdom. By the foolishness of preaching, wilt thou give us a little freedom? Lord, wilt thou give us a little of the unction of thy Holy Spirit? Give us a little love. Give us a little zeal. give us a little desire. And wilt thou bless and sanctify thy word, forgive, and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. We announce that, the Lord willing, there will be a midweek preparatory service next week, Wednesday, February 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Also, the last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 226, all stanzas. Dear congregation, in a very sudden way, in this week, a family in our community has been plunged into mourning. Then not only a family in our midst, but also, as we understand, another 50 families. When in this past Friday, an airplane that has suddenly fallen out of the sky. What a great change can come in the life of man in one moment when there is an expectation to live, where there is an expectation to see our loved ones again, and we never see them again. But the greatest change that is not for those that still live, the greatest change is not in those things that are seen, but the greatest change that has now come to those who are dead. The greatest change, that is those things that we are not able to see, where these persons, they have so suddenly entered into a completely new world, wherein they have exchanged this time for a never-ending eternity. And then it is not our purpose to speak of man, because God is the judge. Even when we have made a profession, even when we have held an office, a congregation, when it is well with the soul of a person, then who is able to express the gain of those that leave this life? That is a gain that the human mind is not able to comprehend. We read so little in the Word of God of what this is. Human words are not able to express the greatness of the exchange. And when a person may leave all the misery due to sin, and not only these consequences, but when a person and may be rid of sin itself, and when he may receive the blessed communion of his Maker and of his Creator once again. Congregation, what is our life? What is our whole life? What is now the purpose for which we are living? What are we seeking after? Have we not to ask ourselves over and over this most important question? With the help of the Lord, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning out of the words of our text, which you can find in Matthew 13, the 44th verse. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So far the words of our text. The kingdom of heaven likened unto treasure. First, the treasure hid. Second, the treasure found. Third, the treasure bought. The kingdom of heaven likened unto treasure. First, the treasure hid. Second, the treasure found. Third, the treasure bought. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks to us, congregation, about a treasure. And the idea of a treasure is an idea that is not unknown to any one of us. That is a word, that is a concept, an idea that does provoke within each of us a certain thought, but that does also produce a certain emotion. There are feelings and that arise within our hearts when that idea and that concept is received into our minds. A whole array of emotions, a whole array of feelings. Thus, children, you also have this in your mind when someone would say to you the word treasure. Then there is a certain inquisitiveness. Then you want to know what this is, this treasure. There is a certain expectation that there is something very glorious, that there is something very great. When you hear this word treasure, maybe that there is also something of covetousness in our heart when we hear this word because of our evil nature. Thus a treasure, the object of our desires, the object of our seeking. And now the Lord Jesus likens here the kingdom of heaven unto a treasure. Why? Well, if we go back in this chapter, then we see how that the Lord Jesus is speaking by way of many parables. And then he has spoken about a seed and about leaven, and that he has compared the kingdom of heaven to this seed and to this leaven, and he has instructed the people about a certain aspect of this kingdom of heaven, that though it is appearing very small, children, like a little seed in its beginnings, yet you know what a tree does, then after some time, you see that it grows into something that is so very great. Thus, the Lord Jesus says, is the kingdom of heaven that may not appear so very great in this world. It has such very small beginnings, but the Lord has something so very great in store for his church. Then he compares it to leaven, that same idea, very small amount, and yet it is working something so important within that bread to make it to that dough to rise. And now the Lord Jesus tells another parable, and he likens the kingdom of heaven unto a treasure. And that is again for our ignorance, for our small understanding. And when we think about a treasure, then we think about something that has a great value, a value. Thus, the Lord Jesus will present something of the great value of this kingdom of heaven. That is another aspect of this kingdom. compares it to a treasure. That is not, children, you have maybe in your mind the idea that then there is a little box with a lid on it, and inside then there are some nice things. They are made of gold and silver. That is a treasure, yes. But here, when the Lord is speaking about this treasure, then he does not speak about such a treasure, but actually he speaks about this man striking, or this man finding a mine. Thus, a gold mine or a silver mine. Thus, something much greater. Something that is of a unknown and of an inestimable value in this mine. There is there an unending supply, as it were, of wealth underneath this ground. This is now what the Lord Jesus portrays the kingdom of heaven to be. How is it possible, congregation, to portray the value of the kingdom of heaven? How is it possible for us to portray the value of those things that are eternal? The value of those things that are heavenly, not earthly. The value of those things which are not natural, but the value of those things which are spiritual. Thus, it is so impossible for an earthly likeness to really truly show something of that value of that kingdom of heaven. Does not have only to do with our body. No, that has also to do with our soul. That has not only to do with the things of the time, because that time is so short, as we may see, as we may experience in our fellow man, but it has to do with those things that concern eternity. It has not only to do with the welfare of man, but it has to do with the honor and the glory of a triune God. The worth, the value of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, though man is not able to express this, who, congregation, even sees it? Who has an impression of the value of the kingdom of heaven, whose life is affected by the value of that kingdom? Who loses rest concerning the value of the kingdom of God? How is it? How is it possible that we go on just as if there is no God? Just as if there is no heaven, that there is no hell? Just as if we will live forever? Just as if we are all body and no soul? How is it that we cannot express even the value of that kingdom, but we don't even see this value? How is it? The Lord Jesus says how it is. He says that this treasure that is hid, it is hid, he says, in this field. Thus, it is buried, as it were, beneath the ground. So the people cannot see it. men, short-sighted men. He goes forward in his life, and that treasure that is lying beneath the ground, he goes forward in things natural, and he is not convinced of the value of all of those things spiritual, and he is trampling, as it were, at these most valuable treasures, just as a man is walking over a gold mine, a silver mine that is lying just a few feet under the ground, but he does not see it. And why is the value of that kingdom so hid? Is it because it is not revealed? Is it because it is not told to us? Is it because we do not have the word of God? Is it because the Lord has not sent his prophets and his servants to cry concerning the value of this kingdom? No, that is not the reason we do not see it. We do not see it because our understanding is darkened. We do not see it because our eyes are so blinded. We do not see it because our affections, what is that? What is that, children? An affection. That is the things we love. We are affected with our affections. There is something wrong with our affections. The things that we love, our affections are perverted because of our deep fall. Our affections are set on things that are natural. There, our affections are set on things that are soon going to be gone. Very soon. We do not know how soon. Thus, a blinded understanding and corrupt affections, so that we do not see this treasure. The treasure that is hid in that field, we may even be walking within that field. Wherein that treasure is, and we may come into God's church where that treasure is proclaimed. We may be, as it were, so close unto that treasure, and yet it is a treasure that is hid in that field. And that is the reason that that field itself, that is for us of so little value. Religion, young people, coming to the church of God, the house of God, of so little value. Why? Well, that field wherein is lying that treasure, we do not see the treasure that is in that field. And that is why that field that has for us, when we do not see that treasure, that field that has for us of so little value. But now what do we read? That the Lord Jesus, he speaks about a man who finds this treasure. That is our second thought. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found. So what is that picture that the Lord Jesus is drawing for us with words? Is that then a man who is on this field and he is seeking for this treasure? No, that is not so. But this picture that the Lord Jesus is drawing is of a man who happens to be in this field, whatever that he has to do in this field, and that by chance, there is no chance from our side, there is no chance from the Lord's side, that is only from our side, but by some chance, this man, he stumbles, he happens to come into this treasure. What does the Lord say? I am sought of them who ask not for me, and I am found of them that did not seek for me. Thus, this man, he is in this field for some purpose. He is maybe a servant, and he has to work in that field. And he has to dig maybe children. He has to dig maybe to put up a fence. And while he is digging, then his shovel that hits something that is hard. And he goes to see what this is. And he realizes what he has found. Thus, the picture that the Lord Jesus is drawing, not of a fallen race of men that is seeking after God, that is running after God, that is seeking for the knowledge of God, and that is asking after the Lord Jesus Christ. No. But a man who is walking in this world. Oh, do you understand what a great privilege it is, young people, to be brought up under the truth? Because when you are brought up under the truth, you are placed in the field. And just beneath the surface, which maybe you do not see, maybe you do see, but just beneath the surface in that field, or you are brought in that field so close unto this great treasure. You are maybe now so blind to this. You do not understand how that a person can have so much desire to come to that house of God. You come here because you have to come here. You have no choice. But you see, there are others, they come here so different. They do not have to come. No, they want to come in that field. Is that not a wonder? That father and mother bring their children, their young people into this field? That we are brought so close unto that treasure, where that treasure can be found? Because how can we find that treasure if we are not brought into the field? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, this is that field wherein the Lord is giving a man to find this treasure. From the side of the Lord, then that day is appointed for every single one of his own children, that day that is appointed wherein they shall find this treasure. But how is it now for that people? Oh, they come from their house into the church. There is a form of prayer. Lord, come with us to God's house today. But there is no desire within. It is form, it is custom. And then from their side, oh, it seems as it is, just as it were by chance, as the minister, he may speak a certain word, that they may read a word, that they may sing a certain word. It is from the side of that people as if they stumble upon this treasure. But what is the experience in that moment when such a person may stumble on this treasure? Then suddenly, they see something that they did not see before. Suddenly, they see that there is something here that has such a very, very great value. Suddenly, they see that there is here a treasure. Value. What is that? Value. That is something relative. That is not the same for everyone. Some of us value money. As some of us in this world, we value honor. Some value power. Some value the comforts of this life. Value. Value is something that also can change. What is valuable to a person in one time of his life that is losing its value at another time. What is valuable to you, children? You know, there was once a little child, maybe 9 or 10 years old. He was very, very sick. And he was going to die. And he knew that he had to die. And he was laying on his deathbed. And his mother brought to him all his toys. And she placed them on his bed. And that child gave away each toy to his brothers and to his sisters. All they had for him, no more value. No more value. He could just give them away. Why? Oh, he did not need them anymore. Value. What we value at one time in our life, we do not value at another time, maybe. What we value today, parents, or in a few years, that will lose all of its value, maybe all our home and all our things that we may have in this world. And then when the reality comes that we have to leave it all behind, and then it is all going to lose its value. What is valuable for a living man, that is not valuable unto those who are dead. And so the Lord Jesus, he is making this comparison with that spiritual life. He says of the kingdom of heaven, when a man is born again, then he says his values change. The things that were valuable to him before, they are no longer so valuable. And those things that he did not valuable, that he did not see as valuable, those are now the things that he sees they are. Oh, they are not just valuable. Oh, no, they are to him a treasure. That is in that moment as if he has found a treasure in a field that he never knew existed before. You say, I am brought up under the truth. I know that the spiritual things, they are of the greatest value. You are right. You are right. But congregation, did it ever become for you a treasure? A treasure. In what precisely Do that people see a treasure? What is it that they begin to value? That is not Christ in that moment. No, it does not begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they see as valuable? All they see as valuable, the favor of God. The blessed communion with God. Now we may begin from the oldest to the youngest. We may ask ourselves, has the favor and the communion with my Maker, my Creator, has this ever become for me so valuable that I also may say this is as to me a treasure? Then you understand that people feel a separation from God that they cannot bear. Or then there is a missing of this God whom they have come to love. And what is it that separates them from that treasure? What is it that makes that distance between them and that treasure? That is sin. Sin. How can it be otherwise but that sin, and that becomes so loathsome in the eyes of the people? Thus, the heart of that people that is so changed. How was that with the prodigal son? At one time, he could take all his father's goods, and he could leave his father, he could turn his back to his father and go away. He did not even perhaps lift his hand to wave goodbye. And then there came a moment. There came a moment that this changed. And the things that he began to value that were to him precious, changed. A people jealous of the true people of the Lord. Why? For their treasure. For their treasure. Treasure? The people who go over this world afflicted, a treasure, that people who go over this world with very little of the comforts of this world, that go over this world being mocked, that go over this this world as those that have nothing, a treasure. Why? Because of their relationship to God. Because they are His children. And then when that people have nothing left in this world, as Naomi, who has lost her husband and who has lost her children, then Ruth says, she has this treasure. Oh, then she has a desire that she also may have this treasure. Oh, it becomes to her a treasure, like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth. joy there is in the heart of that people in regeneration, joy. Such a joy in the regenerated man. That is a mystery. You will not see them going over this world and laughing and singing for joy. And yet, that is a mystery. And yet a joy. Why such a mystery? Because at the same time there is sorrow. At the same time there is weeping. But ask the people, give me now your weeping, and you may have my laughing. They will not give it to you. They will not exchange a single one of their tears for all the good of this world. Why not? There is nothing so good, congregation, as true repentance. This is a people that are happy to weep tears of sorrow. And why? Why? It is because in those tears, there is lying an expectation of this treasure. What is repentance? That is to turn. To repent. That is the first step of approaching unto God. And that people experience the joy that is in that first step of approaching unto God, like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. Is that honest? So he is in that field, and he finds this treasure, and he hides it. He does not want anyone to know what is in this field. Why not? What's going to happen? The price of that field is going to go up. He will not be able to afford it anymore. And he wants to buy that field. But he wants to buy that field for an amount that is less than what it is worth. Thus, does the Lord Jesus then countenance wickedness in our dealings with men in this world? No. The Lord Jesus only says how it is. He only says how men work, how men do things, even in a wicked way in this world. But what will the Lord Jesus portray by this? The Lord Jesus will portray the diligence that this man now begins to seek for this treasure. There is one thing that this man realizes so well. What does he know? He feels that this is a treasure, but he also knows that this treasure is not his. Is not his. And thus, this man has no rest until this treasure may become his own. That is his whole intention. This is his whole desire. Oh, when he sees that treasure, when he feels the value, and when he knows that it is not his own, then he has one purpose in his life. One purpose, and that is that this treasure may become his own. Oh, what does the Lord Jesus portray about that kingdom of heaven, then the Lord Jesus portrays that holy unrest, a holy unrest in the life of this people, that they cannot rest until they themselves also may be the recipients and the participants of the communion of this God whom they love, that they also may receive that blessed favor of God. It must become for this people so personal. They need to have this blessing for themselves. O congregation, do we know the smallest part? We are only staying in the very beginning this morning. In the very, very beginning. Do we know the very beginning of what is experienced in regenerating grace? Let us sing. 421, 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows in 3 and 4 of 421. our last thought the treasure bought, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. This is, congregation, the life of the regenerated man. It is a new life. It is a life that is so different than that life that he had before. What is it? It is a life of seeking. The Lord is making a seeking people. And seeking what? Seeking spiritual things. And now this becomes their whole life. You say, I am also a seeker, because I read the Word of God, and I pray, and I come to church, I am faithful, and I gather with my friends, and we have prayer meetings. Is this congregation what makes a person a seeker? Is this what seeking consists in? There are those who build upon the promises of God, even the conditional promises of God. And then they will say, but the Lord, what does he say? He says, seek and ye shall find. So if I seek in this way, then I am sure to find. I will do my part, and then the Lord, he will do his part, because the Lord is faithful. Then there is something wrong with our reasoning. And what is that? We don't understand what that true seeking is. We do not understand how deeply that we have fallen. We do not understand that our natural outward deeds, and they are not coming to that standard of the requirement of the Lord. Or what is missing? What is missing in that seeking? Do you know what is missing? There is no treasure. We have never seen, we have never found this treasure. Our heart that has not yet been affected with this treasure. There has never been a change in our values. Outward deeds, the outward deeds, the outward seeking of those true seekers, where is that coming from? That is not coming from a command, that is coming from within. From within. And it is coming to the outside, then there is a need, there is a desire that he may obtain. He looks not at his seeking. He knows not maybe how long he has been seeking. He does not realize how many books he has read and how many sermons he has heard. One thing he knows, that he sees this treasure, and that treasure must become his, and that he has not this treasure yet for himself, and that therefore his seeking that is not yet over. Thus, what is the essence of that true seeking after the Lord? That is a burning heart. That is a heart that is affected. That is the longing of the soul. And that is now the soul that man is carrying over this world as he goes through all his labors here on this earth. This is that desire, this is that burning that goes with him when he is in his barn, when he is in the factory, when she is in the house. Oh, they are cast about in their own mind. Why? Why? I am separated from the love, from the favor, from the communion with the Lord.
Thus, that true seeking that has a foundation, that is not mere outward action. No, it is a matter of the burning of the heart. And when this is missing, we are no true seeker. You say, what must I do? Must I not pray? Must I not read? Must I not meditate? Yes. Why? It is commanded. Is that not sufficient reason? The Lord commands it of us. But also, it is the means. It is the means that the Lord, He is giving a person to stumble on this treasure. But one caution, that when we are busy with all these things, that we do not then say that I am such a true seeker. No, this is the fatal error of millions of people in our world. That is a dangerous way by which so many people today are lost. With our superficial emotions, with our outward seeking, and some with a zeal. A Jehu-like zeal that puts God's people to shame. And yet, that seeking that is not known of the Lord, a foundation is missing. What foundation? My soul thirsteth for God, for that living God. Oh, when shall I come and appear before God? This bleeding heart. Oh, out of this desire that people are willing to sell all that they have. Why? That they may buy that field. When we sell something, why is that, children? We will sell it. If you ever sell something, it was yours, you are now ready to sell it. Why? Well, because you don't see the value in it anymore. There is something else you want to do with that money. There is something else that you see as much more valuable. This is now what the Lord Jesus is saying. That when this treasure is found, then that people, they are ready to sell, to leave behind, to turn their back upon all this world as without value. Does the worker then leave his factory? Does the business then man then leave his business? Does the student then leave his school? Does the mother then leave her kitchen? No. No, you do not read any of this in the Word of God. But this world is to us congregation an idol. An idol. And this is what is gone. All this world loses its value. And selleth all that he hath. Why? Because he is forced? No, what do we read? For joy thereof. Oh, it is no burden. Lord Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he says, sell everything you have. Did not. Could not. Why not? No treasure. No treasure. Oh, he did not see that treasure. And therefore, all the things he had, they still had not lost their value in comparison to this treasure. Oh, how different that this becomes by the operation of the Holy Spirit. We do not say that the people do not slide, backslide away from this. But this desire is known, and then no burden. No burden, congregation, to throw out all those old books. No burden to throw out the television. No burden to throw out the VCR. No burden to throw out all those wicked clothes. No burden to leave all the paths of sin, the entertainments in this world. No burden. It all goes with joy.
with joy. Why does it go? No value. No value. Because there is a treasure. Naomi, she said to Ruth, go back. Go back. Oh, entreat me. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. It lost all its value. And now what does the Lord Jesus say? This people will not be put to shame. And sell all that he hath and buyeth that field. No, not as an earthly merchant, but it is a field that is bought without money and without price. But that is now something else. What is the Lord Jesus saying here? He buyeth that field. Oh, he says, that people who see the value, who find this field, they shall buy. When there is a beginning, there shall also be an end. Is that congregation? Now, all you know, we said this morning, just the beginning. The beginning, the very, very beginning. Have you found the treasure? Or has the Lord given you to stumble on this treasure? Has the Lord shown you this treasure? Do you know something about what the Lord Jesus speaks here? About those who are entering into this kingdom of heaven? Do you know something of this? If we know the beginning, then we know we do not have it yet. But the Lord Jesus says, be of good courage, because when that beginning is right, oh, then the end, that will also be right. Oh, he says, be of good courage. All ye that wait on the Lord, because he will strengthen your heart. And those that seek me, they shall find me. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us understanding hearts? We do not see the treasure of ourselves. Lord, man can fall from our sight, passing away, so that we see him no more. But we need our eyes opened to see that treasure. Wilt thou give understanding hearts? Bless thy word. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive our sins. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 416 stanzas 1, 4, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. 1, 4, and 5 of 416. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.